Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Wednesday, Feb 7 edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey here. Steve will be checking in from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia. On the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. You can find us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And our website, stevejonesshow.com. We got 3 months' worth of shows there, archived on the podcast page. And you are also invited to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. And if you happen to listen to us on iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a kind review. We appreciate that. Steve, tonight we'll have Penn State basketball from the Jordan Center. Penn State Sports Network will be up and running at 6. Penn State, Maryland will tip at 6:30. Maryland traveled into Central PA last night, so did not have to weather the storm that came through the Central Susquehanna Valley earlier today. And don't forget, we got the Winternet info at WKOK.com. Shikellamy basketball tonight scrapped, so we will have Penn State basketball on beginning at 6 here at WKOK. So today's National Letter of Intent Day across the country. Penn State has the highest ranking since the ranking started back in 2000. And the recruiting class has been completed with the addition of offensive lineman Rasheed Walker. Currently, Penn State's class is fourth nationally, and that's ranked by 24/7 Sports and Rivals. ESPN has it ranked as a fifth. And Rasheed Walker is the 23rd member of the 2018 recruiting class. 22 student-athletes signed national letters of intent to join the football program.
Rasheed Walker was a big get today. Big get. Solomon Enos ended up going to Utah. Another player they were looking at ended up going to a junior college, which made sense. But Rasheed Walker's the guy. Look, if you had to pick out which guy to your... Hey, you can only get one. Which one would it be? They got the guy that would fall into that category. I mean, that's the guy they got. We're going to have Ryan Snyder from Rivals.com on the show today to talk about all this and more. The basketball game, by the way, is on tonight. That's no issue. I've got to tell you this story. It's standard operating procedure. You go in the night before. Now, I know, for example, we'll have Nathan Davis on tomorrow. And, it's, you know, it'll be a little different in the Patriots sometimes because they went to Lehigh the day of the game, right? But in the Big Ten, especially with distance, I mean, distance is the biggest determining factor. I mean, if you're close, you can go in the day of a game. I mean, when Penn State played Bucknell, they did not go in the night of the game. They went the day of the game. The Soika, that was, what, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? I mean, DJ Newbill played it. I want to say it was 15 Penn State went to Bucknell. And the team went the day of the game. You know, I drove a day of the game, you know. So distance makes a difference. That's why you go to Lehigh, you can bust in the day of the game. But in the Big Ten, there's distance. So Maryland came in last night. In fact, they flew in last night. It was a 27-minute flight. All right. So I've got to tell you, just after 9 o'clock last night, I get this phone call in a voicemail. Steve Jones... This is Officer Tedesco.
I know you're going to say who it is.
Right. Dick Girardi, and now this comes in as on my phone as Dick Girardi. Okay, I'm like, he says Dick Girardi's been involved in an incident here at the Nittany Lion Inn. I'm listening to this, I'm thinking something isn't quite right here. Okay, so now I call back, right? Yeah, I think the message sat there for a little bit before I even noticed it, because I was watching the Penguins game last night. They were playing the Vegas Knights and Marc-Andre Fleury's return.
Great game.
And I was flipping over to Northwestern New Michigan. So I see, I hear this message. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? So I call. I said, and I hear, hello? I said, this is Dick Girardi's phone. Why do you have Dick Girardi? Well, obvious. There's been an incident here at the Nittany Lion Inn with Mr. Girardi drinking. And I said, Johnny, you and I both know Dick doesn't drink. He says, what state? It was Johnny Holiday. He says, so when did you figure it out? I said, about 10 to 15 seconds into the voicemail. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here.
It's the pipes.
And so he says, Dick gets on the phone. He says, hey, look, we're over here at the Nittany Lion Inn. He says, can you stop by? I went over for like an hour and a half last night. So Johnny, Dick Girardi, and I'm talking trading stories for 90 minutes where you want to be a fly in the wall. Johnny's got some beauties. I mean, about Howard Cosell, about Tim Conway. Remember the great Tim Conway from the Carol Burnett Show?
Sure. Very talented.
Johnny worked in radio with him in Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
At one point. Unbelievable. Great. I mean, and I'm talking on the floor in pure laughter for an hour and a half. And we're trading stories. I'm telling about a couple of things that Dick's done. Then Matt Brady, one of the assistant, he's the director of basketball operations for Maryland, came down. Dick knows him from his days at LaSalle. And he introduces me. He says, Steve Jones. The waiter comes over. All right, now the waiter comes over. You know, and of course, you know me, heavy drinker. I said, can I have a Diet Pepsi? And Johnny looks over at the waiter and he says, young man, he says, do you know who Steve Jones is? And he goes, absolutely. He's the voice of Penn State football and basketball. Right? I'm thinking, well, thank goodness I got out of that. Kind of embarrassing because I'd never heard of the dude. You know? Isn't he Jerry Jones' son with the Cowboys? So I'm thinking, okay. He says, I am the Steve Jones of Maryland. Now, you know Johnny, right? So then I look over and I said, well, just to set the record straight, I am the Johnny Holiday of Penn State.
You've made it perfectly clear on many occasions. One day when I grew up, I want to be just like Johnny Holiday.
Johnny Holiday. Oh, man.
I have this concern. We're going to be meeting up in State College sometime next summer. I'm going to get this call on my smartphone with Mr. Jones has been apprehended outside of Medlar Field.
He's Officer Tedesco of the State College Police Department. There's certain things that gave it away. The voice, although he did a great job of throwing it. That it would be the State College Police calling from the Nittany Lion Inn. Because that would be the university police. So that was a tip-off. And that Girardi was involved in it. I said, I'm sorry, that part, no.
Okay, how can we get him over here? Okay, we'll create a ruse.
Oh, no. These are two guys sitting at the Nittany Lion Inn over at Whiskers. We'll have some fun with him. And yeah, and then I went over. And I mean, trading Howard Cosell. I mean, he had, because remember when Johnny worked on ABC Radio Sports, Johnny always followed Howard. Okay, always. So it was always like Howard Cosell speaking of sports, and then Johnny was next. So that's why over the years. So Johnny was telling us last night that when Howard Cosell's wife, Emmy, died. Now, Johnny did not know Emmy at all. So Johnny took the time, and he's such a really, really thoughtful guy. He sent Howard Cosell a card. And a month later, he's working at a station in D.C., and one of the producers comes in and he goes, hey, there's some guy in the line who's doing this Howard Cosell impersonation that says he wants to talk to you and knows you. He goes, what? He says, yeah, he's doing this. He says, he's doing this bad Howard Cosell impersonation on the phone. He says, so he picks up. It was Howard Cosell. And very hushed tones. And if you ever heard Cosell talk thoughtfully during the course of his career, it would always be in softer tones. And in hushed tones, he told Johnny, he said, did you know Miami? And he said, no, I did not. I never met her. He said, Johnny, she was the love of my life. He said, and for you to take the time to send a card, he says, I can't begin to tell you how much it meant to me because of how much she meant to me. I mean, it was just, it showed at least a softer side of him in that moment, and also what it meant. I mean, that was one, but, you know, believe me, the other stories told last night, two-thirds of them we could tell on the air.
That's not bad. That's better than I thought.
Well, there are a couple that you can tell on the air, but you'd have to clean up, like, because Johnny doesn't speak that way, but you'd have to clean up what other people said in the conversation in the story.
Oh, we could create like a bonus podcast after show or something.
Oh, my God. I'm talking three guys, I mean, with sides splitting at the end. And then we're watching Iowa play Michigan State. And, you know, I looked over at one point and said, all right, if you were to tell Fran McCaffrey, you will score 93 points tonight at home and lose. I said, what are you thinking at this moment? Oh, my goodness.
I was absolutely floored with that game last night. I was thinking, okay, maybe they're just catching Michigan State at the right time with their schedule and, you know, everything that they've had to endure within the news the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the first thing I thought of was, you know, Bucknell on Monday night when they, you know, stubbed their toe on the road. Okay, this could be the Michigan State stubbing of the toe.
All right.
Wow.
No. Nicholas Barry missed a 3-point shot from midcourt that could have won it for them. So, no classes here today. The university will not reopen until 5, but the game is on tonight. And not only that, it's been a productive day here because, let's face it, Penn State, again, the one player that, if you had to put that list together, look, you can only have one. They got the one that would be that one. That's Rasheed Walker. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. By the way, when I walked in and saw Johnny Holiday and Dick Girardi sitting there last night, I walked in and I said, just so you know, I brought bail money.
Johnny should have called from the bar phone instead. Could have had you hanging for a few more minutes.
Exactly. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, there is a game tonight. Maryland got here last night. That is standard operating procedure. For example, Penn State will play at Illinois on Sunday, and Penn State will fly out, the basketball team will fly out on Saturday. Every time Penn State plays football, they always go out on Friday night, unless, of course, with the Illinois game coming up next year on a Friday, it'll go Thursday. So that's standard operating procedure. Although Maryland did not have a shoot-around this morning. They decided not to shoot.
Okay, that's fine.
Penn State did have a shoot-around today. It's up to each coach as to how they want to do things. But Maryland did not shoot. Penn State did go through a shoot-around. Now, look, Maryland probably did a walkthrough in the ballroom at the Nittany Lion Inn, but that's how they decided to approach it. Do not know whether Chefkovsky is playing tonight. Heel injury, missed two games last week, Purdue and Wisconsin. So don't know if he's playing tonight or not, but I do know he's on the trip. And speaking of Purdue, they've got Ohio State tonight, the game for first place in the conference. And Cam Williams probably is not playing tonight. In fact, there's a report on Cleveland.com today that Cam Williams' suspension might be multiple games of three, maybe five. So we'll see. Don't know what he did. No clue as to what he did at all. And that's all the info that we have. The students, by the way, get in free here tonight, which is a good move. I mean, I'm all for that. They did this one time, 2007, Valentine's Day, Ohio State. Big snowstorm, huge. So they let all the students in. Ohio State was ranked number one. They had Greg Oden, they had Conley, they had Daquan Cook. I mean, they did a really good team. And Penn State fought them right down to the wire. And they let the students in for free, and the students came in droves. There were thousands of students in the building. That was a great atmosphere. And Mike Walker hit the flange from midcourt that would have won the game. That's how good of a game it was. All right, next half hour will be Andrew Callahan. We'll talk about recruiting and also Penn State basketball. Ed Kratz on the Eagles. Parade of courses tomorrow. Final half hour, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, and Rivals on recruiting. So that's the game plan for today. I know there are a lot of people that wondered if the suit showed up for work today. The suit did.
He did.
As a matter of fact.
He sure did.
Dedicated professional that he is.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, based on the text I received just now, I guess is on level 7 of Candy Crush.
Wow, good for him.
Whoa, nice. What does that mean?
Mm.
What does that mean?
Had a quick couple of minutes. Couple minute break. Good player. Crushes it. Candy Crush.
Oh, yeah.
Candy Crush.
I'm sure.
I'm a Golf Clash kind of guy. We crush it on Golf Clash. Let's get your brother hooked on that next.
I play golf.
You do?
All right. So.
No need for that in the offseason.
All right. Andrew Callahan next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports in just a few minutes. Then Ed Kratz next half hour. Final half hour, Ryan Snyder from Rivals.com and Blue White Illustrated. On the state in sports history, 1949, Joe DiMaggio signed a contract with the Yankees worth $100,000, the first six-figure contract in Major League Baseball. 1958, the Dodgers officially became the Los Angeles Dodgers Incorporated. 1965, Cassius Clay began using the name Muhammad Ali. There was that famous fight he had in Houston against Ernie Terrell for the heavyweight championship, and Ernie Terrell refused to call Muhammad Ali Muhammad Ali. He kept calling him Cassius Clay, and it went 15 rounds, and Muhammad Ali made sure it went 15 rounds because every time he hit him, what is my name? Bang. What is my name? Bang. What is my name? Bang. Did it all, and it was a brutal fight. Let's see. Also in the state of sports history, Michael Jordan signed a contract with the White Sox to play baseball. 1995, Joey Mullen of the Penguins became the first American-born player with 1,000 career points in the NHL. He ended his career with 1,063 career points. Jim Kelly retired on this day from the Bills in 1997. And that is this day in sports history. All right, Andrew Callie in 24/7 Sports joins us. We'll talk basketball in a few moments. Andrew, I want to get right into the recruiting part of it. It's interesting how it played out. They get Rasheed Walker today. Just your overall thoughts on how everything's played out.
You know, pretty calm. I think it's a different process for everyone. Obviously, the greatest stress is on the kids and on the coaches. But, you know, being that intermediary, speaking to both of them, I think you get the best idea of what's to come. So, especially when you're in a position like Penn State, where they're really focused on just a couple of kids. And they threw plenty of lines in the water since December when they had the first signing period, see if anyone wanted to come aboard, particularly with defensive backs. But they pulled all those up. No one had bitten. So it's really down to Rasheed Walker, of course, comes aboard, and then Solomon Enos, who just declared for Utah. So it's been pretty calm waters today.
Yeah. What do you think about this? It gives them now 14 consensus four-star guys or better, three fives, and then I think 11 fours. What's your thought on that?
I think it's a great class. I mean, it's difficult to describe it in any other way. I think they've got tremendous depth. They didn't come into this class like you did in previous years with a real need. So what you're able to do is mine the best talent, not only just available in your footprint, but the best talent at all different positions. So you've got, I think it's about 12 guys who fall in the top 10 of their positions. We heard so much about what depth did for Penn State last year, pushing it to a 10-win campaign. You know, you're obviously going to lose a lot in terms of experience, but I think with these young guys coming in, they'll have an opportunity and they'll be ready for it because they're so good and prepared and like I said, spread across the depth chart where there shouldn't be any sort of drop off, and that depth, you know, will be there again for Penn State in 2018.
All right, so now you transition from that and get into the basketball part. They'll play Maryland tonight. Penn State's won three of their last four. When you've looked at tape, Andrew, what have been the common threads that have allowed success to happen?
Well, I think it's toughness. You know, it's funny looking at the tape, and there isn't a whole lot different, you know, tangibly, but you just look at the, you know, almost the vibes that the team has given up, and I think it has to do a lot with Josh Reeves coming back on the floor. Defensively, they're deeper down in stances. Offensively, there's a rate of confidence there for Tony Carr, and the passing has been better. I mean, Josh Reeves, for all that we talk about his steals and his defense, one of the best passers on this club. So when you lose that, you're obviously losing at both ends of the floor, and I think it's spread to other people. And the counter argument, of course, would be, oh, well, they only play at Iowa. They only played Rutgers. Like, Ohio State was kind of a lucky win. You know, they did have some good fortune in Ohio State, but they covered large spreads against Iowa and Rutgers and had an outstanding performance against the Hawkeyes, who had scored their fewest points in a single game dating back to late November. So I think Reeves is a big part of that, and it's spilled over to everybody else. Like, Watkinson been able to stay on the floor. And the one time he didn't was the one game they lost at Michigan State. But even in that game, you know, they're leading for almost 30 minutes.
All right. So, Tony Carr. I made the observation to him in the postgame. Well, I asked him the question. I said, do you feel that with Reeves back, it's allowed you to be more efficient with your game? Now, he said yes. Now, what's been your observation? Is Carr a more efficient player with Reeves out there because maybe he doesn't have the burden to, hey, I got to throw up 25, 30 shots tonight?
I think so. And, you know, his attention, too, can be spent more offensively, I think, because Josh, then, you know, along with Nazir Bostic and sometimes Jamari Wheeler, who we also, you know, forget, Jamari Wheeler played all of, I think, 3 or 4 minutes against Ohio State, Michigan State, and Rutgers. Now that he's back, too, Tony can afford to not have to take on the number one or number two option for an opponent on the defensive side. So he's got more energy, both mental and physical, offensively. The floor's a little bit more spread. You know, Josh is not a pure shooter, but certainly, you know, he's been shooting the three well this year. And I think it's definitely made him more efficient with that added space, that confidence, and just energy. Because again, he's playing some of the highest number of minutes in the Big Ten. So when you get that boost, and you know he's still playing the same number of minutes roughly, but they're a little bit easier with Josh's presence out there.
All right, Maryland comes in here tonight. How much have you watched Maryland, Andrew?
You know, I've watched Maryland touch and go. I think it's been a very different team, of course, since they lost Justin Jackson before the first game within their home. So, you know, I think it's a team that right now has gone through the rough part of their schedule that Penn State's about to jump into itself. But I'm impressed. I mean, they got a strong backcourt, and that's what you always say, right? Coming this time and in March, you need two guards to lead you, and they still had that despite those injuries.
All right. This is the question I want to ask. When you've watched them play, because I'm a big believer that part of what you do to get to the free throw line is style of play. If you're out there shooting jump shots, you're not going to get to the free throw line.
Right.
Now, we know what happened the first time, 34-4 free throw attempts. Okay, let's just cast that aside for a moment. Let's look at the overall numbers. This year, Maryland has 409 free throws made for the season, 409 made. The opponents attempted 327. When you watch them, does that make sense to you?
You know, it does, because I think when you look at them defensively, again, making them strong in that backcourt is what they do perhaps best. What they're best at is just defending without fouling. And you look at the discrepancy, you mentioned the total number of foul shots taken by both the Terps and their opponents. I'll give you a couple of numbers here that reflect that to even a greater degree. So they get 22% of their scoring from the free throw line, which is top 40 in the country, all Division I, more than 350 teams. Their opponents are getting just barely 15% of their scoring. Now, you go 22 to 15, it's not a big difference. However, that mark is 334th out of 351 teams in Division I. So they're not giving away free points, and they're getting as many as they can from the free throw line, where they're shooting a really good percentage. So I think those two things, with one is a little bit more difficult to discern how well they defend, reading they're good positionally and just fundamentally, which I think helps them, even when you lose their best players. The backups, they might not be as explosive or as threatening offensively, but they're going to be in the right spot defensively. They're not going to hurt you there, and then they're going to be able to at least get to the line where, again, you know, they're called free throws for a reason, right?
Well, I've always liked Herter. I've always felt Herter was a really, really good player. Cowan, I wasn't so sure watching him last year when he was playing next to Melo Trimble, but I give Cowan all the credit in the world. I think he has put together an outstanding season. He is, to me, in my mind, he's 50% better than he was last year. When you watch Herter and Cowan as a duo, how good are they together?
You know, I think that's the exact point, is how well they fit together. You look at Cowan, he leads the team in assists a year ago, and that's going to be partly a byproduct. You're playing, as you said, next to Melo Trimble. Well, he's still doing the same thing again, where he's got the reins of the offense, both to score and distribute, but he's chosen, you know, this path that allows him to balance those two. He's still leading them in assists. He's obviously leading them in scoring. And I think Herter provides such a presence behind that three-point arc. I mean, he's nailing 45% of his threes and gets just more than half of his points from behind the arc. So it ends up, again, forwards we talked about with Josh Reese for Tony Carr. Herter does the same for Cowan. Cowan obviously can hurt you in a number of different ways, you know, which puts a defense on its heels. But the way they're able to bounce together, and they're selfless with the ball, they make each other better on the floor, and all that much more dangerous for opponents down the stretch.
All right. What about what are some of the keys tonight when you look at the game?
Well, we were just talking about Herter. I wrote about this last night. Herter, for me, is the number one guy. They did a very good job defensively, you know, on January 2nd down in College Park. He was 2 of 6 on the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. Of course, he still finishes with 13 points. How? Well, the free throws. But if they can limit him behind the arc, again, a guy who's getting more than half of his points from downtown, that takes away a big chunk of their offense because he is their second leading scorer. And otherwise, they've got to give Maryland a dose of their own medicine. Just defend without fouling. And I think this will be a really, really good test for Jamari Wheeler, who played a dozen minutes against Iowa, again, after a stretch in which he didn't play a dozen minutes combined against Michigan State, Ohio State, and Rutgers. But he's able to come back, try to get in front of Cowan and play that similar defense. If they just don't let Maryland get to the foul line, which, of course, is much more difficult, you know, done than it is said, I think they'll give themselves a real good path to victory. They're favored by about 3 points last time I looked, and it'll really come down to those two things.
Yeah, and by the way, if people are wondering, well, has it changed a lot in play? It's actually 191 made to 177 attempted for the opponent. So it, for Maryland, that has continued in Big Ten play, and I think it's a big factor. I mean, I was not bothered the first time, Andrew, at all by the 34 free throw attempts that Maryland had the first game. Not in the least.
No, they weren't. Yeah, but they're still shooting better than 75% from the foul line in Big Ten. So, you know, better opponents are not letting them get there as often, but when they do, they cash in.
Right, they cash in. But what did bug me was only the four Penn State got. That part bothered me because the first 10 minutes, Penn State didn't deserve a free throw. They were shooting jump shots. The last 30 minutes, Penn State played downhill. You only get four? I mean, that's the part where I looked at and went, now, wait a minute. Hold on a second here. Am I watching a team taking, you know, again, what's the style of play I'm watching? To me, Penn State realistically should add 14 or 16 attempts. Not 34, but 14 or 16 attempts. That's the part that I thought was the discrepancy in that game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's funny you mentioned that, too, because we sat down with Josh Reeves a couple of days ago and we're asking about, you know, the history with Maryland. You know, the last three meetings, all decided by 6 points. All five meetings since the Terps joined the Big Ten have all by been two possessions or less. And we said, okay, what goes into that? And he goes, well, my freshman year when we were down there, I could not hear coach in the huddle. It's just so loud. And, right. You know, this gets to a point that I love discussing whenever I can because I've done a lot of reading about home court advantage and where it really stems from. But when you hold a lot of factors constant, you know, you mean you're looking at the same things across each game, what it really boils down to is just referee bias towards the home team. And kind of there's a social psychology element to that where you've got all these people who want this one thing around you, the fans and, of course, the coaches and the benches. You know, you're naturally going to sway a little bit closer to doing what they want. It's very small, but that's where you saw that at Maryland. 34 foul attempts, as you mentioned, when Penn State didn't deserve it early. Certainly did late, and only four for Penn State. That's where the whistle comes into play. They should have that benefit here at home tonight. But it was really interesting because even with that great discrepancy, which 30 is unheard of, they still, you know, were within two possessions down the stretch. And I think now when things are a little bit more even, that they should be able to pull this one out.
Yeah, so we'll see about that part tonight. I mean, I think it's going to be a factor, but you know, if you build up a little bit of a cushion, it's not as much of a factor. As always, Andrew, thanks so much. Appreciate the thoughtful insight.
Yeah, appreciate it, Steve. We'll see you tonight.
Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports. Ed Kratz next half hour. Ryan Snyder final half hour. We'll break down the recruitment as it turned out for Rasheed Walker today, who announced that he is going to Penn State to round out the class. That's 23 for Penn State, 14 consensus four-star or betters, including 3 5-stars. And we'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by our good friends, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, thanks to Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports, for joining us. Penn State tonight, 6:30, the tip-off, 6 o'clock the airtime this evening. As Penn State takes on Maryland in the rematch at the Jordan Center, Penn State's won 3 of its last 4. And also, our thanks in advance to Ed Kratz, who will be joining us from Philadelphia to talk about the Eagles and the parade coming up. That'll be in the next half hour. And then Ryan Snyder, Rivals.com and Blue White Illustrated. He will join us, and he will talk about the signing today of Rasheed Walker in Penn State's overall class and start giving us an advance on 19 and 20. I mean, that's the way it is in recruiting now, 19 and 20. I have been an advocate for the early signing period for more than 30 years now. When I saw it in basketball, I said, you know what, this can work in football. And it turned out that for the most part, it worked the same way, with one difference. Basketball has its signing period before the season begins. And that's something I think football needs to take a look at. Do you want to do the signing period in, for example, the first week of August? And the reason I picked the first week in August is once the signing period's over with, you know, you can really lock in and concentrate on your team at that particular time, the one you currently have. And that's what I think is... I don't want that ever to be lost in all of this. You know, you still have a current team to take care of. It's, you know, that current team is the one that gets you all excited about what's going on currently with your team. I mean, that's important. So I think that's something I want to see if that comes to fruition, that they change the early signing date. Because now you've got it, you know, it's in the middle of the bowl season. You're in the middle of your bowl prep, so forth. After that, you can lock in on the game you're preparing for. But that's something I wonder if they're going to do that next. Take that early signing date and move it up. I thought the one they had this year was a success. I like the fact that the players, high school players, can go into the holiday, and if they wish to have everything settled, it can be settled. I think what you found out with the late signing period is that now there are so few top prospects out there because others already signed early that they've got a lot of attention, if not too much attention on them. I mean, that was more than they want, being bombarded from all sides, people trying to fill out their classes and so forth. Now, think about what Penn State did after December 20th to the 22nd. That was the signing period that they had. Now, you know, they had one that signed, sent his letter of intent in, but asked not to be revealed until he did it himself at the All-Star game. In fact, let's take it even one step further. They entered that signing day on December 20th without knowing the status of Micah Parsons. So then, on the signing day, Micah Parsons reveals to everybody, including the staff. They didn't know. I was sitting there right there with them. They didn't know. And he then reveals he's going to Penn State. Big. Next step. And that's the one where Jason Oway sent his letter of intent in that day as well, but didn't want it revealed. He wanted to be able to make the announcement himself at the All-Star game. So Penn State already knew they had him, but they kept it under wraps. And in keeping it under wraps, he was allowed to do that. All of a sudden, boom, big check mark again, Penn State. That's two. Then the last one was getting Rasheed Walker here at the end. Where again, Walker, nobody really knew until today what he was going to do. And he got out there today and he made his announcement that it was going to be Penn State. So, one, they knew that was Owe. The other two, Parsons and Walker, they didn't really know until the moment came up. And they both broke for Penn State. And again, those are two, on the surface, very important gets in this process. And they both broke for Penn State. And then Owe, you know, they did a great job of keeping that, like, nobody knows, here it is, we got it. They already knew they had him. And he announced at the All-Star game. Now, it's going to be a question of them coming in and how well do they do once they get here. And we'll all find out together. All right, basketball tonight, BJC. The game is on tonight. Students will be able to get in free here tonight with their ID card. And they'll play Maryland at 6:30, airtime set for 6 o'clock. I'm going to assume everything in our area, high school-wise, is done tonight, right?
Yep, no Shikalemi here on WKOK tonight. So, yeah, you and DJ live at 6. Shikalemi Wrestling tomorrow will be heading to Hershey for the team state run. See how that shakes out. Could have a bout or two tomorrow, a couple on Friday. Keep you posted.
Good, good. Hope they do well.
Yep.
All right, Ed Kratz next half hour, Ryan Snyder final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.